Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. We give you praise. Give you praise for how you lead, how you direct, how you show the way. Just how close you are to your people. Just thank you for this word you've given us for this year. And how it's already playing out. It's already proving relevant. I pray even now for your pronounced presence to be so tangible to each person sitting in this room. As if you're just positioned right next to them or right in front of them, somewhere so close to them, around them, they can sense your touch. They can sense the gravity of your love. Just embracing them. And because you are that close. You are that close. You are not far away. You're not. Just somewhere in some other stratosphere, but you're right here in our midst. And we know that. And we are comforted by that. We are reassured by that. We are empowered by that. We are humbled by that. That you would choose to allow yourself, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to come close to the likes of us. But you do. And we count on it. Because it's here in your presence that we live and function and have our being. That even now, as you are ministering yourself to us, the kingdom is being advanced. Because you don't minister to us in these ways just because you can, but because you have a purpose. You have a purpose for every life in here to be a vessel for you to flow through. So as we spend this time with you, when this time with you right now ends in what, 50 minutes, whatever that is, you'll send us and we'll be empowered. And this is our existence, wherever we go, to be a vessel for your love to flow from. For your power to flow from, for your wisdom to flow from, for your peace to flow from, and to touch people that need your peace, that need your power, that need your love, that need your grace, that need everything that you are pouring into us even now, for us to spill it out and advance the kingdom. That you are equipping and moving us from point A to point B, onward and upward, not staying in the same place. That the end of those days truly is over, those days of torment, those days of battle after battle after battle after battle. Not that we won't still do battle, we will, but it'll be different because we're the victors, not the victims. That we are conquering territories. We are shining light in dark places. We're speaking life where there's been death. All this is for your glory, Jesus. And to you we give our full attention and our full praise. Amen. Amen. So onward and upward, advancing the kingdom. Introduced this last week. Core verse is from Philippians 3:4. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's a pressing on that is taking place. This is an action. It's an action on our knees. I won't go through everything I went through last week, but the whole premise and the whole posture of this is a place from our knees. It's a dichotomy of Scripture to say we're on our knees, but we're seated with Him in heavenly places. We're seated with Him in heavenly places from the position of our knees. And it's from that place that we are equipped and empowered to move onward from things that have held us back. And today we're going to look at some Scriptures that, you know, we know that Jesus, when he taught his disciples, he said this phrase many, many times. The kingdom of heaven is like, and we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about that. We're going to start with this. This is not a parable. This is from Matthew 4. And it just tells about the ministry of Jesus. And it says, he went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Part of our assignment in 2026 is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And as we're doing that, the kingdom is being advanced. And it says, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed. He healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region around across the Jordan followed him. As we're proclaiming the kingdom, and advancing the kingdom, we're going to see new followers of Jesus. They're not going to be your followers. They're going to be followers of Jesus. And in Matthew 10, when Jesus was sending out his disciples, he sent them out with the following instructions. Don't go to among the Gentiles or enter any towns of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. This is part of our mission in 2026 of going onward and upward and advancing the kingdom. When we were at men's prayer meeting yesterday, I inserted notes from yesterday's prayer meeting into my notes right here about praying for the sick, speaking healing, reaching the lost. At prayer meeting yesterday, Wes reminded us, I don't see Wes right now, but Wes was at prayer meeting yesterday and he was reminding us of the power of corporate prayer. And is reminding us that you may sometimes pray for some particular need because the need is there and you know about it. And then you check it off your list. I prayed for that. And he was challenging us to say, don't just check it off your list. Because every time you pray, it matters. And then we started talking about I think it was Pastor Shane talked about the passage in Revelation that talks about these bowls that hold the prayers of God's people. Amen. And then he shared this details of this dream about the game Kerplunk. Anybody know the game Kerplunk? It's this game with, I don't know if they're sticks or straws or something like that, and there's marbles in it. And the whole idea of the game is you pull out a stick and hope it doesn't collapse. If it collapses, you lose. But in this case, we want the collapse, because at some point, as you're praying for someone and you're praying in faith and you're not just checking off a box, you're praying in faith and you're praying with perseverance and you're pounding on the doors of heaven like the widow who just kept knocking, kept asking. At some point, there's going to be a and the marbles are going to all collapse, and those bowls with all of your prayers, all of our prayers from heaven, are going to be tipped over because there's an answer. We heard a testimony of actually this in class this morning from Tammy Cochran of one day, there was a change. All those prayers that had gone forward for her need were answered that particular day. Debbie Glick shared, this is a word for us for this word for this year, for this onward and upward, this advancing the kingdom, that there's going to be suddenlies. And they have a testimony of something that had been afflicting Mike for years, in a matter of hours, was resolved. He came in last week wearing a boot. The boot on his foot is actually gone now too, because of suddenlies. But it's going to require us to go and proclaim the kingdom from a position of our knees. We start there, and then we're equipped to go. To go. We're not just checking a box. The whole idea of seeking, asking, and knocking. Seeking, asking, and knocking. Because the scripture tells us, seek, ask, knock. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. I don't have that verse up there. But it's relevant. It's relevant. So I was sitting at prayer meeting yesterday and just listening to Wes, listening to Pastor Shane, listening to Dan Slagle, listening to different ones, sharing different things. There was, I could visualize movement in the kingdom. There was visual, in my mind's eye, there was visual movement of the kingdom from the very, very place of just sitting in this room with this bunch of guys. There was movement, there was activity, there was advancement in the kingdom. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But Jesus taught over and over and over again, and we're going to look at some of these passages, some of the kind of foundations of these parables. But he said the kingdom of heaven is like. And what I began looking at when I began studying these is, okay, so if we understand some of these passages and what it says about the kingdom of heaven is like, so what is it about this particular parable that we need to understand and participate in to advance the kingdom then? To advance the kingdom. To move onward and upward. And in Matthew 13, 24, 25, we know the parable. It says, a man who sowed good seed, kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. At the same time, his enemy sowed weeds among the wheat while everyone was sleeping. So we have this picture. We have this picture of good seed being planted. And we, if you know the account, I don't have all the entire accounts of these up there, but we know the account that there was an enemy that also was planting seed that was not good. And the disciples came to him and said, well, what, we thought you planted good seed. Why are there weeds here? Should we pull out the weeds? And he said, no, let them grow together. That was like a revelatory word to me in the moments when I was reading this week. No, let them grow together. We are growing in our walk with Jesus. We are growing. The good seed is growing in us. It's growing in us, growing in us. The enemy has planted seeds. They're probably in your workplace, in your neighborhood, maybe in your family. But he said, let them grow together. And of course, the end of the parable, he talks about what's going to happen at the end of the age. The end of the age, he said, we'll bring the weed into the, it'll be harvested, and then we'll burn the weeds. But my thought as I looked at that was, no, one of the reasons they grow together, because you're shining light in those weeds, perhaps to bring salvation to that person rather than have them meet destruction at the end. Because we already know the passage where Jesus says, I don't want anybody to perish. We know he doesn't want anybody to perish. And so part of our assignment as we are good seed growing alongside weeds in the culture all around us, is it possible that you're going to make a difference? And that some of those weeds just die because the presence of Jesus in you is so strong. So that they don't face destruction at the end, which is, again, the end of that parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field, and though it's the smallest of all seeds, it produces the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree where birds can perch on its branches. A small seed. You may look at your life and say, what do I bring to the table here? I'm just a small seed. But as that seed grows and sprouts, it produces something. In this case, it says birds come and perch on its branches where someone ends up finding refuge. Where someone's finding refuge in your walk with Jesus. Say, can I come hang out with you? Because you have a joy, you have a peace, you have a confidence, you have an assurance, you have something that I don't have, and I want to come and perch on the branches of your life for a while. Amen. Advancing the kingdom means we start with a small seed, but it grows. It produces something, becomes a hiding place. Pastor Mark did a whole lesson last year called the seed principle. The seed principle. He reminded us, our original logo at Abundant Life Fellowship was this little leaf with seeds in it. Our logo now is this tree with roots that spread out, because he grows us. I was reminded, too, thinking about your prayers and how they matter, and your persistent in prayer matters. And I was thinking again of something Pastor Mark said sometime last year. I think this was at the end of a message where he said, I want you to pray about something today that you've prayed about many times and thought, I'm just praying to the wind. Nothing's happening. But he said, I want you to pray one more time into that thing. I want you this morning to pray one more time into that thing. Some of you don't know this, but there was a man in the room who came down and was chuckled at the assignment that Mark had just given him. So I want you to pray one more time about that thing. And he's like, this man chuckled and said, all right, I'm going to do it. It'll have to be you if this happens. And he prayed a prayer in those moments. And the next week, what he had been praying about came to pass. And we're talking about a couple of years. That's advancing the kingdom. This is advancing the kingdom. It starts small. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into flour until it was worked all through the dough. I'm convinced every single time we gather, no matter what the context, whether it's in this room today, I'm convinced that during our time of worship today, I'm convinced even right now as we're sitting here, there are things being worked into us. I'm convinced when we gather for prayer, the men gather for prayer, the women gather for prayer, there are things being worked into us that have kingdom ramifications. Question I ask even now with this particular one, what do you see or sense is being worked into you? What might be its possible purposes for that? If you're a note taker, write some of this down and give it consideration in your prayer. What does this mean for me? Because I'm convinced that he's working things into us corporately. We have heard over and over again, we know we are living, we as Abundant Life Fellowship are living life on assignment. This is not come to church, check your box, go home and do whatever you want to do. I mean, it can be. I mean, we always have a choice. We have freedom. nobody's, you know, walking every single day with Jeanette to see what she's doing, apart from here. We have freedom, but the reality is we know that God has called us as a body to be purveyors of change. Again, the Issachar anointing, to understand the times and know what to do. We know that's part of our assignment. And when we're living life on assignment, the kingdom is being advanced. We don't always see all of the nooks and crannies of that. And that's probably purposeful. If we saw everything that we got to accomplish for the kingdom, I don't know about anybody else, I'll speak for myself, but my ego would explode. Look at all that I accomplished. No, that's why we do it from our knees. That's why we do it from our knees. Advancing the kingdom means we take everything that we're learning from Scripture, every outpouring of Holy Spirit, every applied lesson gets worked into us to be spilled out of us. There's no part of us that is untouched or unaffected by what he's working into us, works into the whole dough. This process is still going on. Is it going on in you? Is it going on in you? Because every one of us has access to all of this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Amen. When you've discovered the treasure that is Jesus, the treasure that is his word, the treasure that is living for him, you'll do everything you can to protect it. We talked in class today about the word convinced, where Paul says, I am convinced. Are you convinced yet that this is the only way to live for Jesus? And that it's not just for this promise of heaven after you die, but yet, but beyond that, I get to affect other people's lives around me because of how he's changed me, and I can encourage someone else. I'm convinced. Have you become convinced? And the next parable is very similar. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And again, the whole idea is, I'll give away everything because I've discovered Jesus. The stuff I've accumulated, the accolades I've received in life, all the other stuff, it just doesn't matter in comparison. It just doesn't matter. Amen. It pales. Advancing the kingdom means we've discovered the treasure in Jesus is so great that nothing else matters, and I want to do everything in my power to serve him for the rest of my days. And I want everyone to know about this treasure. And so I'm going to open my mouth and tell them. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake, and it caught all kinds of fish. Caught all kinds of fish. Amen. Advancing the kingdom means we're continually spreading out the nets. Wherever we go, whatever we do, wherever we work, wherever we play, wherever we eat, wherever we have fellowship, nets are being spread. And as we have conversations, the kingdom is advancing because the conversations are about eternal things. Not that you're not allowed to have conversations about earthly things, we're allowed. And we're in the process, we're catching all kinds of people. The lost, the broken, the addict, the disengaged, the separated, the broken, the hurting. In Matthew 13, this is actually the first parable in this chapter, and it's one that actually does not start out the kingdom of heaven is like. It's the parable of the sower. We know it. We know it well. We know about the seed, about the farmer that went out to sow seed, and he sowed some seed, and some fell on the path where the birds ate it. Some fell in rocky places where there wasn't much soil, so it was really shallow, and it withered. Some fell on thorns. It grew, but it got choked off by worries of life. And then some fell on good soil where it produced a crop. And then after he gives this parable, he says this, Because the disciples asked him, why do you speak to people in parables? And he says, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. But not to them. I read that and I thought, that's us. Knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to us. An Issachar anointing to know the times and know what to do. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. Not to necessarily everybody around you who are not a part of the kingdom yet. And it says, whoever will be given, whoever has will be given more. So there's more coming. There's more revelation coming. There's more secrets being unveiled of the kingdom. It says they will have an abundance. We're not talking about stuff here. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. And I had revelation, had some revelation about some of this. You know, Pastor Don taught for years, and I've been saying some of this lately, the whole idea, just show up, was a revelatory word. That was a secret. That was knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that Pastor Don had all those years ago. I don't know that we ever identified it as such, but when I was reading this, I was like, oh my goodness, that was one of those revelatory things that is still relevant in 2026, that showing up matters because secrets about the kingdom are being unveiled. That's why when you heard me say yesterday, I heard me say from yesterday's men's prayer meeting, there were secrets, knowledge of secrets from the kingdom of heaven being identified, and there was movement to them. And I knew it. And it was another one of those prayer meetings of sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for what was going to be revealed next. And that's kind of this part of this anticipation, living in this anticipatory place of what are you going to show us next? What's going to come out of whose mouth next that is deep and relevant and life-altering? But showing up was relevant for me experiencing it. If I hadn't shown up, I'd have missed it. The rest of this passage goes like this. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. That's not for God's people. That part of it is not for God's people. Because if we are part of God's people, we are seeing and we are understanding. We are hearing and we are knowing how to apply it. But here's what he says, is this people's heart has become calloused. My warning to everybody sitting in this room today, do not allow your heart to become calloused. Because it says, they hardly hear with their ears and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. See, he'll respond to the person who says, I need you. I need you. And see, this is a message we get to share. Does anybody in here know somebody who has a calloused heart? It might be time to have a conversation, not in any sort of a judgy way. But say, you don't have to live like that. We don't have to live like that. Then he goes on to say, blessed are your eyes because you see, your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and hear what you hear but do not hear it. We're living in an age where we can see it and we can hear it and we can do it because he's empowered us to see, hear, and do. I wrote this real big on the screen. Just show up. We had a men's gathering Friday night at Sean Dank's house. Isaac Ricketts shared. And Isaac at one point said, well, I'll just look at the note I wrote to myself about what he said. He said, this is probably a paraphrase, but he said, in God's kingdom, we work our way down. Pastor Don had this thing he called the upside down triangle. The upside down triangle. And he said it all the time. Our goal is to work our way down. Very opposite of what the culture says. Work your way up. Pound your chest. We're men, we're doers, we're accomplishers. We work our way down because we're servants of the Most High God. But again, when Isaac said that, and I don't know, I mean, Isaac would have been little. I mean, I know he knows Pastor Don, but he would have been little. I don't know if he remembers that principle that Pastor Don taught or not, but he said it. And I thought somewhere along the line that got into him. That principle got into him. But that was a secret of the kingdom of heaven. The pastor, another one for Pastor Don. We work our way down. We're moving onward and upward and advancing the kingdom from the position of being bowed down. Of being bowed down. And if you think it's going to get accomplished any other way, you're kidding yourself. You've been deceived. We work our way down. I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to call out a couple people because it's relevant, and it's not to put you on the spot. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. But I want. There's a visual here. Eric, Travis, I want you to come down. Wes Black, I want you to come down. And B.J. Hostetter, why don't you come down? And they don't have to say anything. Just line up here. So, first Sunday of the year, I shared a little bit about this last week, but when I saw they were all three here today, this was on the spot. This wasn't in my notes. I can't make it up. You can't make it up. I showed up first Sunday of the month. I walked into my open door class. And I think I said this a little bit last week because it was relevant to this whole idea of the kingdom advancing, we're growing. And I walked into class with a lesson that was that we are a growing body. We are a growing entity. And we're poised for growth in 2026 because we're going to be advancing the kingdom. We're going to be sharing Jesus with people. But I walked into class that morning, and the class was packed, and all three of these men who had never been to class before were in there. Wes grew up here. Eric grew up here. BJ didn't grow up here. But I married his wife 11 years ago. And I was thinking about this. They showed up. Okay, the just show up thing was so relevant to these three. And to they showed up at why it happens to be here today, home from school for probably the long holiday weekend, I'm guessing. I don't know. So Wyatt had a going away party, I don't know, a month ago. And BJ and his family showed up for it because they know the family. And I hadn't seen him for a long time. But I said, hey, when are you coming to church? When are you coming to church? Because I do that with people I've married every once in a while. I marry a lot of people that don't go here. But I'm like, when are you coming to church? Not that they have to. That's just me, like, hounding them. And but anyway, what I didn't know was Matt did more hounding than I did. And called him the night before that week he showed up and said, hey, if you're not coming here on your own, I'm coming down to get you. But what struck me more than anything was, and this is how God orchestrates things in life, Wyatt had a going away party because he was going to school, and that was instrumental for him having a going away party for him to show up to, for us to see and invite. That's how orchestrated our lives are. That is how detailed our lives are. God knows they didn't know when they were inviting the Hostetters to come to their party that God had a bigger plan in mind. I point it out because I believe the three of you represent a field of harvest that is so ripe, that is so ripe, that just simply requires a simple, hey, show up, come on, come be with us. Hey, come be with us. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. Wes, that next week showed up for Men of Valor, showed up again this week and said, I went home. What did you say? I felt recharged. I said I wasn't going to have him say anything, but he just did. I felt recharged. I felt recharged just by showing up and being with a bunch of men for an hour and a half. It's like I had to come back. I had to come back. I had to come back. This morning we're sitting in open door class, and I'm going to share a little bit about something related to our dear, dear brother who's been with Jesus for 25 years, George Welker Jr. Some of you know him, some of you never heard of him, but I'm going to share something about it. We were referencing something about George, and Gary Sloan shares one of George's favorite verses, which was Isaiah, about eagles soaring, and we were talking about soaring in class. Eric pulls out his Bible and says, I got this Bible when I was in jail. And it has that verse sitting right here, and he read it to us. This is how God orchestrates our lives, and how the simple idea of just showing up today, all of these things evolved from conversations. So these three, there's nothing special. They're special in their own right, but they represent something for this body that they showed up the very first Sunday of the year, right before we're unveiling a word about advancing the kingdom and moving onward and upward. And I believe every one of these men, that their lives are moving onward and upward for the kingdom. Now they'll have to cooperate with that. It's not just some supernatural thing that's going to happen and they'll just automatically do it. They'll have to cooperate with it, as we all do. As we all do. We have to cooperate with the things that are being poured out among us. We have to participate in them. It's not just some osmosis thing that happens and suddenly they're just going to all three move onward and upward and advance the kingdom and live life however they want to live. And they all know that. You guys can take your seats. So thank you. Thank you for being... I veiled this word just a week ago. Holly Guy has written on her Facebook page a blog about advancing the kingdom five times this week. Because Holy Spirit, so this is part of your assignment in advancing the kingdom. And she actually, we shared today how the Lord had given her the assignment before this word was ever announced. And the I think the word gave her permission or whatever to say, yeah, I gotta do it. Plus, I think some women reminded her. It's what we do with one another. So I had dinner Thursday night, a random dinner with there were six of us men that used to work together at the Vindicator, and we hadn't seen each other for a while, and we were together for 2.5 hours, and we were getting ready to leave, and the one man said, "Hey, before we go, I want to tell you guys a story." And the guy's name is Don Schilling. He was one of our business editors over the course of years at the Vindicator, and George Welker Jr. Worked on the business desk with him for a number of years before George moved to the sports department, and so he wanted to tell this story, and I'm just going to read it to you. I asked him the next day to send it to me because I said I want to get all the details correct. He said, "So sometimes when we're singing at our small group," he's part of a small group at his church, "and we sing," when he was telling the story, he said, "We sing that song that's about Jesus, my Savior." I said, "You mean Shout to the Lord?" And he said, "Yes." So when he wrote it to me, he wrote Shout to the Lord. "We sing Shout to the Lord. And I am just overcome with emotion each time we do that because I know it was one of George's songs." It was one of George's songs. "I'm overcome with emotion and how his faith, how it impacted my life and how he lived his life. And I often mention him in our Bible studies. And I say, he knew he'd likely die young. But he was so joyful and he never complained. That I knew of, at least. I never didn't know that he ever complained, and I don't know that he ever complained, and I knew him quite well. He was truly with the Spirit and understood, when I'm weak, he's strong. So on this particular day," and this was recently, "we were at our group and the singing began and that song came on, and I pulled up a seat and had to put my head down. And I was disappointed that I had to put my head down, because the emotions were too big and they were weighing me down. And I thought of George immediately. And I clearly heard the message. I know it was the voice of the Holy Spirit, but seemed like it was George's voice. And he said, 'Don, let it go. I'm okay.' And I realized in that situation, this is what George did. His situation, his challenge, for those that don't know, George had cystic fibrosis. What he could not control, he let it go. And he let God take that space. In that way, he wasn't focused on himself. He could then go on and bring joy and the love of God to everybody he saw. And he had peace and joy. So now, every morning, I begin my prayer time with a few reminders. One is, let it go, Don. Let it go. Another is gratitude." And he tells another story. But my thought was, as I was reviewing this, okay, so I show up with a bunch of guys from the Vindicator, and I'm always mindful of, "Lord, what are you going to do here? What are you going to do here? What are you going to accomplish here?" And we close the evening with a testimony about a man who's been gone from this earth for 25 years, but whose testimony is still ringing out. It's still ringing out. And all the next day, I had a couple meetings the next day with people. All the next day, I'm talking about my experience the night before. And the Lord was reminding me of how intimately involved he is with every single detail of our life. I told one of the persons I met with Friday morning so many stories about the Vindicator that just sort of came rushing back, and how God just orchestrated this and he orchestrated that and he orchestrated this and he orchestrated that. Because his kingdom is always advancing in his people if we're paying attention. I unveiled this word, introduced this word last Sunday. On Monday, I was doing my devotions. And the prayer in my devotions said this: Dear Father, thank you for not only knowing me, he knows every one of you. Thank you, Father, for not only knowing each person in this room, knowing them. Thank you for not only knowing me, but also asking me to partner with you as you advance your kingdom. The day after our words announced, this devotional was written months ago, probably maybe a year ago. I don't know when how soon they put those out. Thank you for knowing me. Thank you for knowing Harry, and for being intimately involved in his life, and for using him, partnering with him to advance your kingdom. And I could go around this room and personalize that for every person in this room, because that's what he wants to accomplish. It is that corporate and it is that personal. And I'm convinced that we have knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, and because of that, we're advancing the kingdom. Because of that, we're moving onward and upward. I'm sure we'll be covering lots of territory with this word over the next 11 months. But I will encourage you once again that if bowing down and sitting at the feet of Jesus is not part of your equation, start today. Because it's from that place, that all this is going to emerge. I'm convinced if you haven't shown up for a small group, whatever that small group is, whether it's men's prayer on Saturday morning, women's prayer on Saturday morning, if it's a small group on Wednesday night, that's where iron is sharpening iron in real and tangible ways. There's no requirement for any of this. We are not legalists. There's freedom in the body of Christ to make choices, and we recognize that. But I say that with this caveat that some of this stuff only happens when we're in the cluster. Your alone time is really, really important. And I get that. And there's no substitute for that, to be frank. But we're advancing the kingdom together as a body. I have a dream that Tim Hupp had in November. I'm not going to read it today. It's too long. But I'm going to print it out, and I'm going to have it back there. But he sent it to me toward the end of November, and it was right around the time I got the word for this year, and it's all tied to it. But it's really relevant. It's really relevant. But the whole point of it is that we know people are coming. People are coming. Things are intensifying in the world. It's a crazy place out there. People don't know where to put their trust. They don't know where to plant their feet. It's going to be the body of Christ. It's going to be the body of Christ, because it's only in Christ that we stand. Apart from him, we fall. apart from who we have no firm foundation. So when we've had several of these visions and dreams of bulging walls because there's not enough room. I don't know when and how that's going to happen. It's not really my business. If the Lord said it, he'll do it. But I absolutely know this, each one of us is part of it. Your life in Christ matters for advancing the kingdom. This is not a pastoral only job. And you know that. I mean, I'm saying that to people that I know absolutely know this. Let's stand. I encourage you, there's way more parables. I encourage you to look some of them up. Look some of them up this week. Make it part of your private Bible study to look up those passages where it says the kingdom of heaven is like. And ask Holy Spirit to give you revelation of something in there that you haven't seen yet. Because it's there. There are things there that we haven't seen yet. Because if we're advancing the kingdom and moving onward and upward in 2026, we need to know what the kingdom of heaven is like. We need to know what that looks like in real everyday living. If you need prayer today, there's people here who will pray with you. If you want to come and just kneel before Jesus or kneel at your seat, whatever you want to do, to enjoy his presence, feel free to do so. We have a Heart of David worship night coming up here at the end of the month on a Friday, last Friday of the month. Encourage you, if you're not doing anything or if you're not doing anything important, those are two different things. Come out and join us, because I believe these gatherings matter. These gatherings matter. Jesus, I thank you so much for your presence with us today. We need you. We acknowledge you. Bow down to you. We surrender to you. We're grateful to you. We can't say enough words of adoration to express how we feel about who you are and what you've done for us and what you're doing for us and how you are leading us, how you include us in your plans, and how you have clearly instructed to move onward and upward and to advance the kingdom, all for your glory, Jesus. We want to do so humbly and boldly. We want to do so sometimes when we're afraid, when we're unsure of even where it's all leading and heading. But I pray for deposits that have been made in each person in this room today, that as we go out of here, that there'll be deposits that will not be allowed to be laid aside, that you will keep stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring in your people of what they're to do next. And if they're not sure, that they'll talk to somebody. What do I do next? Because we know you are producing something from your people in 2026. That will be for eternity in someone's life. Give you praise, give you all glory in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, there's people here to pray with you.